Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everyone, on this wonderful winter that never, never comes.
It's Party Friday.
It's Party Friday.
It's a particular Party Friday. It's Chuck's
37th birthday. Yeah.
Golf score and his birthday have combined or
something. Whatever it is, it's Chuck Bonniewell, Julie Hayden, Truth Straight Up, brought to you by.
The show brought to you by happytrees.co, Mountain West Wellness, advanced acupuncture and Chinese medicine, and also Denver Synergenics and Dr. Julie McCallan. Okay, well, when you just when you thought that the establishment Rhino Republicans couldn't get any worse, they do.
They do.
They do. And when they tell you, oh, at least elect a Republican, it's better than a Democrat. Yeah. That's not true.
Nope.
We've got two Colorado Republican lawmakers who have introduced a bill in the legislature to essentially get rid of
caucuses
and assembly, essentially the whole point of the Republican Party.
Yeah, the whole infrastructure.
They want it to be a pay to play where you get, if you're really rich, you just pay to be on the ballot.
Yeah.
They've introduced this law. And I think there's some shenanigans going on with behind the scenes. We're going to have coming up at 3:15 Laurel Eimer and then Kevin Lundberg, who sounded the alarm. Mm. If you haven't subscribed, Kevin Lundberg has
the Lundberg Report is great.
Yeah. And he put out a special one, like a special alert. So we'll be talking to them in a few minutes, but I want to talk briefly about the Chinese spy balloon. So if you guys, it's all over the place now, but if you haven't heard it, so apparently the Pentagon just announced, okay, because people and pilots are like, there's this giant, and the pilot things are calling it a derelict balloon, but it's like a giant balloon, spy balloon has been floating, came from China, over the Aleutian Islands, through Canada, then is in Montana, hovering over Air Force bases, and now it's on its way to what, in Kansas, Camp Lejeune, is that it?
I guess so, I don't think Camp Lejeune is in Kansas, but anyway.
Well, there's another Fort Bragg. Anyway, it's going around basically over military bases.
And it's maneuverable, so they can kind of, it's not just wafted up there, but it is, they don't know what to do it.
Well, they think
it may be a Russian hoax.
Yeah.
We have 51 security experts saying this is a Russian hoax.
Yeah, 51. That it's not, you're not even seeing it. It doesn't exist.
No.
It's a conservative conspiracy theory. So they've got the balloon. So the Pentagon finally acknowledges, okay, we noticed a few days ago and just now kind of decided to mention it. And some people, Donald Trump is like, shoot it down. They're like, oh no, there'd be too much debris. Other people are like, well, just bring it down and let's see what's in it, right?
Yeah.
But first China said, we don't know what it is. No idea.
Not ours.
Then they said, oh, that balloon, that's...
You mean the Hunter Biden balloon? Oh yeah.
They said, no, it's a weather balloon.
It's a Biden weather balloon.
It was blown.
Like the Biden Penn Center, it's a Biden weather balloon.
Exactly. And it is a weather balloon that was blown off course. And at least, thank goodness, the Pentagon said, yeah, we don't believe that.
Ooh,
we believe it's spying on us. But they said it's not a threat.
No.
We have no idea what it is or what it's doing. We do know because China tells us this, it's not a threat. I mean, it's kind of fun if you go, the memes are all over the place. Somebody did a big meme where it put it said Eric, referring to Eric Swalwell, happy Valentine's Day, love Fang Fang. To me it seems like the incompetence of the Biden administration. I mean, we thought, Afghanistan, you just look at what they do. He can't even handle the docudrama correctly, or at least smartly. And now he's got this giant Chinese spy balloon. And people are saying,
the Pentagon says, well, if it's near you, you can see it. So you can look up in the air if it's there. Okay.
Well, and this is, our Pentagon, they're too busy worrying about diversity and equity and trans rights.
What kind of pronouns?
It's like, we don't have time to deal with the Chinese spy balloon soaring over our company. And it's ridiculous. How can they know it's no threat. I mean, how do they know? Like you said, it doesn't have like a little atomic bomb, and they just kind of get over St. Louis. Go,
or you know, their newest
who knows
flu virus that they've weaponized at the Wuhan lab.
It's with American money, funded by
Americans. Here's your money's worth. We're giving it back to you.
And it's just, and then they're like, well, you know, we can't shoot it down because there would be too much debris. Yeah. Well, it's like, then why didn't you shoot it down when you first saw it over the ocean?
Or the elation.
Blinken is apparently still going to China. Why didn't he mention it to them on this phone call?
Does he need to pick up a check or what?
Yeah, he's going there because Hunter's legal defense is going to be expensive. Mm. So he has to go there. I mean, it's just, again, you just think, what would... If nothing else, this is the Chinese basically giving the Americans a finger, right? And saying we can do whatever we want. We can fly. I mean, because apparently they did fly some like military jets over that. And I don't know what they did to it. Did they fly upside down and flip it off like in Top Gun or something? I don't know. They can't figure out what to do. And my guess is sooner or later, there's going to be enough public pressure. They're going to have to.
Well, just have to surrender. We'll just have to, we surrender.
Well, you know when they should do it? I could see it's going to come in, it's going to hover over the White House, it's going to hover over Delaware and stuff like that. Then they'll probably figure out what to do.
Drop some Biden documents.
From Leo, they're checking to see if the balloon is a he, she, they, you know? Yeah, and from Leo, this is also true. Rev can probably take it down with a bow and arrow. Well, and somebody else was saying if it went over Mar-a-Lago, this is another meme. You know how Trump hits the golf ball? Blows it up.
All right.
And in a way, it's funny, but it's not funny. You know what
it's
I mean?
Funny. Everything's funny now.
Well, yeah,
it's funny. You gotta laugh at this one because
Chinese government. I mean, that's a clear violation of our airspace.
Ooh.
You know? Well, but I mean, and China's like, if nothing.
Well, wait
else,
a minute. Okay, you know, you don't protect your borders. Well, what do you care about a balloon? Yeah. Give me a break. You let 7 million people in.
Yeah, the Chinese
complaining about a little.
Feed them and house them in New York. It's just ridiculous. So that's what you get when you elect Democrats. But we're going to talk now about you don't get much different
when you say if that's what she say elect. Use that word.
Well, all right. Good point. So what we want to talk about, we've been talking about all of this for a while. This is what I think. And there's good news in this. As always, I can find good news. The establishment Rhino Republicans in Colorado, actually and around the country, as we all know, there's this conflict, a civil war, if you want to call it, that between the grassroots and the establishment. And the grassroots, ever since Donald Trump, have been growing and rising in power. And the establishment people are starting to freak out. So Barbara Kirkmeyer, who was the Republican candidate, not my choice, for CD8, didn't get elected to Congress, which is too bad. If we had known what was going to happen if she stayed at the state legislature. So
she's on the Joint Budget Committee, which is the most powerful position, except she always votes with Democrats.
Right. Well, and this is even worse. So in Colorado, because a lot of people don't, get into the weeds on this, but it's kind of necessary to get in the weeds. The way in Colorado that Republicans, actually, I suppose Democrats too, elect candidates, you can either do one thing if you're rich, and that's you can gather enough signatures to get on a ballot. If you're a grassroots person, and by the way, you're popular with the voters, what you do is you go through the caucus system. So Republicans, you go to caucus, you elect, which is your neighbor. Neighborhood, basically. You elect PCPs, the PCPs then go to the assembly, which is sort of like the community, the bigger neighborhood, and then they vote on the candidates. In Colorado, this last time around, all the grassroots candidates won. The establishment candidates didn't really even bother going through the caucus process.
Well, if they did, they lost.
But it is the one way anymore that Republican grassroots candidates can get on a ballot.
Right.
So there are establishment people who have been floating this out more and more. They want to get rid of the caucus and the assembly system. They say it's obsolete. And what they want to do is turn it into a pay to play, and not just pay a little bit. If you wanted to run for governor, it would cost you $250,000 to get on the ballot. I mean, I can't think of something that's more unconstitutional, right?
There are other ones who say you just get on by petition. Everything is getting on by petition. But that's money. That's, once again, it's money. The higher they make the threshold, the more money you'll need to get the signatures and stuff.
So they've been trying to destroy the caucus system because the grassroots have been growing, flexing our muscle, and we're starting to have an impact, right? And they're freaking out. So two Republicans pass a bill or they're proposing a bill in the Colorado legislature to just get rid of caucuses, to just get rid of the caucus and the assembly procedure, and to make it way easier to petition onto the ballot. Now, there are a lot of theories floating around as to what's really going on here. And we'll be talking, like I said, with Laurel Eimer and Kevin Lundberg about it. But you need to know that's going on. And they're not kidding about it, right? They're not, they're Republicans, so it may not pass. I don't know where the Democrats would stand on this.
It's impossible to know. I mean, they like the system as it is, right? They're doing pretty well by the system as it is. So if they think that, you know, if you change the system, maybe it wouldn't help them enough.
Right. But there's, well, and also we talked to Carl Hunter. Wait, another thing to throw in. Remember, we've talked about this before, the No Labels Party, which is funded by a bunch of wealthy business tycoons, basically, has now become an official party in Colorado. Mm-hmm. And can be, they had enough petitions, right? I kind of wonder if that group, the Kent Theory people, are behind Kent all Theory. Of this.
Why they didn't convict him? Why a jury was appeared to convict
just convicted him of something, you know?
Just being an asshole.
Trying to destroy the state. So Carl Honegger, who is a political analyst, his theory is that the two Republicans are proposing this. They know that it won't pass in the legislature, but what they're going to do is use the state resources, because they can while they're working on a bill, right? And the state money to research all of the ins and outs of this, how to make it legal, because there's a question, how can the state pass a law telling a private entity, the Republican Party, how to elect its people, right? And so what Carl thinks, and this makes sense to me, is what they're going to do is use this period before the bill gets killed to have the state staff do all the research, get everything hammered out. And then lo and behold, next year, they're going to make it be a ballot initiative. And that, to me, that makes
sense.
Put
on by
Kent Theory. Yeah, Phil Anschutz. Well, Kent, Phil Anschutz behind the scenes. Right. So there's a lot to talk
about.
There's a lot to talk about there. Meanwhile, the battle is going on still in Pueblo, where, as we've been talking about, Christy Burton Brown didn't like the fact that the El Paso County is the El Paso County Republican.
Yes, it is
Party.
El Paso County.
There, I have it right. But she didn't like the fact that the grassroots had control of that county. Mm-hmm. So what she did is she held an emergency meeting of the state central committee. And basically, it was a coup. There's no other word for it, right? She basically ousted the legitimately elected.
Ran a crooked meeting. Yep. Put on the thing to advantage her side. I mean, it was just pathetic.
And now Dave Williams, thank goodness, told us just Wednesday that, you know, they're filing a lawsuit. They're going to try to fight it and say, you can't just take the Republican Party leadership away from the people and install your own people.
Why not?
And they keep calling it the crooked.
Neutral party.
Yeah, the crooked media keeps referring to them as the neutral party. Well, a similar thing is going on in
Adams County,
and I'll let you explain it. I'll kind of just full disclosure. I'm running tomorrow as the vote for vice chair of Adams County.
Yeah, well, and so we've had vacancies like most counties. We filled some up the other day. Then at the last moment, a evil little creature called Evan Underwood.
Shouldn't be calling people evil.
Why not? It got a group together and said, we want these people. Now, they didn't have enough signatures to call a meeting, so they just called it on their own.
Essentially, what they wanted to do is to make sure that they have enough voters to elect
Evan and
the establishment candidates. Yeah. Well, so what does Christy and the meeting wasn't legit. The county chair, Joanne, explained all of that to them. And so what do? They wind to Christy Burton Brown, who is now saying that she'll intervene in Adams County.
Yeah,
if the
everywhere.
Vote doesn't go her
she's
way.
Everywhere.
It's everywhere. We got Laurel Eimer with us now. People remember Laurel. She's a grassroots hero, CD7 congressional candidate. Laurel, hey, thank you for your time.
Hi, how are you? Sorry to jump on in a rush, kind of late.
That's all right. That's all right.
So your take on two...
Well, let me ask her one other thing. when we supported you, one of the many reasons we loved you is the fact that you were for liberating our primaries from the Democrats and the independents and all of that. And of course, your opponent, Eric Odlin, would not. He'd say, no, I'm not for that. Now he's come out saying, oh, you mean liberating the primaries?
He is the epitome of a politician, because he doesn't have any idea what he's saying. He's a mouthpiece for whoever is his puppet master behind the scenes, and that's all you need to know about him. Mm-hmm. And we cannot allow someone like that to lead our party. We're in enough trouble as it is. And the last thing that we can do is allow someone who doesn't even have a position. He has zero convictions. He does not understand what it means to be a grassroots activist. He's never done the work on the ground. He came up out of nowhere. If you had asked him 2 years ago, he wouldn't have even known what a primary, a caucus, or an assembly were.
Well, he didn't, because we asked him about open primary when he first came in to Adams County, when he was a senatorial candidate, not a congressional one. Right. And he had no, it was just, he could be talking to a rock wall. He said, well, I'm for the Constitution. No, you can't just keep on saying that.
That's just a cop out for people who don't know what they're talking about.
It is interesting. I mean, I was initially willing to give Eric a pass, but he was clearly opposed to closing the primary. And now all of a sudden that he's, you know, running for state chair, he's for it, which I think the Laurel, and we talked a little bit about this on the phone, that says we're winning, basically, right? They know they're hysterical, right. And which is part of this bill, but your comments on that.
Well, exactly. Yeah, I think that's, they know we're coming for them. We've been building a silent network of grassroots activists. I have been, at least for the last 5 years, and I'm not alone in that process. And I know how close we are to installing true grassroots activists at all levels in the political operations within the party, within counties, and then the state party as well. And they know that we're coming for them. That's what you saw happen in El Paso County this week. You're seeing it in Adams County. We've seen it in Jeffco. Every time we get on the cusp of that victory, they use all their power, all their money, to come after us and to try to shut us down. And that's what that Senate bill is about. I don't know. I just got on, so I don't know if you've
talked about it. Go ahead and explain it to people. We did a little bit, but I think you're more well-versed on it.
Okay. So the Senate bill specifically, I think the saddest part about it is that it is put out by Republicans, elected Republicans. This is the consequence that elections have when we elect rhinos to lead us in our Colorado state legislature or in our national.
We didn't elect them. Nobody elected
them. They were chosen and installed by Dominion voting machines, but that's another conversation. But anyway, this Senate bill specifically is Senate Bill 23-101. And basically what it is it's a way to make it by the state legislature law that we would have nothing but pay for play. So we would have no grassroots activism. The only way you can get on the ballot is by collecting signatures that typically are paid for. And there would be no assembly process, no caucus process. It would completely eliminate the grassroots out of the process. And they want this bill to go forward. This is a backdoor to us trying to take over leadership at the Colorado state level and close the open primary.
Yes.
This is their way to come in underneath us and try to push that out. We had this on the table at the meeting 2 years ago. It was voted on that day that we would form a committee and fundraise to close the primary. And nothing has happened with that. We've had lawsuits.
Oh, no, something was done about that. Yeah. I raised the money and we had a lawsuit.
And we have
lawsuits. They applied nothing and did nothing. Notwithstanding 100% of the delegates saying, yeah, we want to do it. They said, oh, we don't have the money. He said, well, we've got, I'll get us the council. And then we get to court saying, well, where's the Republican Party? That doesn't see it. What makes you say you represent the Republican Party? You say, well, 100% of the delegates. No, Christy Burton Brown's not here. So,
well, and Laurel, what it would do essentially too is, I mean, it would eliminate The whole point, I would think, of having county Republican parties, they're there to organize the caucuses and the assembly and help get Republicans elected. Right. If in order to get elected, all you have to do is pay to be on the ballot, that, you know, then you pay, consultants are all going to be really happy.
Right. This is run by the consultant class. And this is something you have to understand. The consultants and that elite group of establishment are behind all these things. The consultants behind Eric Odland, this is their plan for the GOP as well. This is in conjunction underneath right. with probably what's happening in the state legislature. So that pay for play plan is the blueprint that the team leading Odland running for state chair wants. That's right. what they want. So Eric is talking out of both sides of his mouth. We know who the money is behind him that is pushing him forward and what their plan and agenda are. But then he puts out the article in Campfire saying that he's for closing the primaries. And what Campfire, he does in that article is he, if you read that Campfire article specifically, he basically outs himself as basically saying that he was the worst candidate on the ballot. And that's how he got in because of the open primary. He knows that the Democrats use that to influence the election and put the least competitive candidate on the ballot.
Right. right.
That's him. He right. lost. He was the least competitive candidate.
Well, and here's the other thing too, on top of that, it's pretty easy for him to say, yeah, I'm for closing the primary, knowing that their secret plan is to just get rid of the primary. Right. It's pretty easy to say, we could do it also, whatever you want. I mean, if within a year,
right, the primary, then the grassroots who will believe that he's a grassroots activist because he's right. lied about that for a year, if they right. fall into his trap, then they'll vote for him. Oh, but he's for closing the primaries. No, he's not. He's right. not. Look at his record. Look back at what these people have said for the week before, the month before, the year before, and see if they have consistency, because they simply don't.
Right. Don't. Well, and as you said, the people pushing this, I believe, because I don't think Barbara Kirkmeyer, who was probably crabby, she didn't go through the caucus system because she couldn't have done it. So she's, I'm sure, sort of crabby at the caucus people. But for them to say that, I know, let's pass a law. And let me ask you this. I mean, so the parties, Democrat and Republican, are private entities. How can the state even pass a law telling the Republican Party what they
well,
can
they say
can
since
do.
They're paying for the
well,
primary.
Well, I think
they go, don't pay do, for the primary.
I think anything. What they're going to do. I don't think that that's actually the agenda. I think this bill will be killed. It'll be killed right. quickly by the Democrats. But what's going to happen is it'll create a fire underneath somebody who will now make it a ballot initiative.
Yes, yeah. I think that's we. Carl Conacher said the same thing.
All funded by
all funded by the consultant class.
No. The consultant class has no money. People get this wrong. The consultants do what the big donors want. The consultants don't do anything. The big boys of the money don't go, oh, I don't know what to do. No, they go, you consultant, here's $50,000. Do this, do that, do a. It's because we have Voldemort back there. Voldemort is Phil Anschutz. Everybody's afraid to say his name. Ken Theory is not Voldemort. He's just one of the little ghoulish ghouls.
Right.
But it's so easy to see. I mean, in the Nebraska party, it was the Ricketts family, and they finally overthrew him. But it's everybody likes to blame the consultants who are just pay to play whores. I mean, they'll do whatever somebody's willing to pay.
The dollar is for sure. Yeah.
Well, and here's the thing I think that people need to understand. And again, the on the plus side, like you said, they know we are this close, right? I mean, they know the grassroots are energized. They know the grassroots are organized, and they're worried about it. So they have to do and are doing. Christy Burton Brown is just running coups on counties that elect leadership she doesn't like, that aren't establishment hacks. This would just get rid of any need for caucuses or precincts or any of that
stuff. Or even elections.
Or even you could just go straight to paying to be the president, I guess.
Just go over to whatever the local Democratic
so they're,
group is.
They're worried about the grassroots, and because they know they can't win fair and square, so they have to do everything to try to take them out. And I think you're right about the ballot initiative and further what they're going to do, and they're cheating on it too. It'd be one thing if they introduced it and it was killed fair and square. I bet they're going to let it drag on for a little while so they can have the state staff do all of the research and answer the questions and come up with a ballot language, and they'll have everything just in a nice, tidy little package to launch as a ballot initiative.
Of course, sure. It makes total sense to me. It makes total sense. And if then they have the state party on board with that, then, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, easy peasy, right?
Yep.
Oh, so it's even more conspiratorial.
Oh, of course it is.
I never, every time.
Connect the dots of it. Boom, 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 right to the head of the Colorado GOP.
That's what that would be. That would be why, because initially Eric Odlin was pretty adamant he was not going to do it, right, but all of a sudden he is. But all of a sudden, these, you know, this Patrick Sullivan is writing this plan for pay to play. These guys are introducing this. You're right. And of course he would endorse it. You know, they've been trying to get rid of the caucus, the establishment system, for years.
Right. Well, I think this is all these steps leading up to it. Right. And I mean, you have to pay attention to what the agenda of these people are, where they came from, where they want to go, and what they want to do. And you have to look deeper and say, what have they done for me lately? Yes. What have they done for me? Because they haven't done anything. All that they do is do something for themselves, to gain themselves power, themselves notoriety, whatever it is, a paycheck for them because they don't have a job, so they need a job. Guess what? I have a job. I have a real job. And I've had one the whole time that I've been campaigning. I don't do what I do because I need a job. I do what I do to save this country, to save this state, and to save my county, so that my child and my grandchildren and everybody else's have a future to grow up in the greatest country in the world, right?
Right. That's well, and here's the thing too. And it, I mean, talking about, you need to follow the money as well when you connect the dots. So under their pay to pay scheme, it's going to cost you, I think, what, $10,000 to run for the state legislature?
That's one of the schemes. That's not the legislative one.
No, that's Patrick Davis's plan.
Yeah, right.
Let me explain though. But the thing is so you, and then you have to pay up to $250,000 to run for a Senate or so. Uh-huh. Okay. And where does that money go? Well, to the state Republican Party.
And what do you think they're going to do with it? They're not going to use it for Colorado. They're going to send that money somewhere else.
No accountability. Staff.
Yeah. No transparency.
No,
it's never going to trickle down to a House district candidate. Not in a million years.
No.
This is from Dr. Donna. I took Casper's class with Eric in it, and I knew who he was.
I remember.
Yeah.
Well, so how do we get some conclusion? I mean, we're close. You guys are working hard, and grassroots are making progress, maybe not fast enough, but.
Well, I think the most important thing that you got to do is attend your, if you are signing up to be a bonus member and you're of that voting block of the central committee in your county or the state, pay attention to who you're voting for and what you're voting for.
Right.
Because this is important. I mean, this is really, I mean, all politics is local, and this control mechanism of our parties locally and at the state level, they control everything. And that's the wheels that control the machine, right? That all of us who run as candidates have to deal with. And so it is really important that you pay attention to where you vote and who you vote for. Research those candidates, pick up the phone and call them. You know, here we have our assembly tomorrow in Jeffco. We've got over 125 candidates for 22 seats.
Wow.
It's going to be a battle tomorrow. And I'm telling you, make sure you vote properly. I'm one of those candidates. I would humbly ask for your vote to keep me voting on that central committee, to keep me as a CD7 bonus member, to keep transparency in the process, to make sure that things are fair, accountability, making sure we're closing the primaries, making sure we're supporting grassroots candidates at all levels. That's the most important agenda.
Well, and let me ask you this. So let's say the bill didn't address this, but let's say that this, you know, the bill or the ballot initiative passes, we get rid of the caucus and we get rid of the assembly process, right? So all of a sudden you don't need bonus members. You don't even need, what do you need a state?
You don't need anything.
How do you even get a state central committee? Where do these people come from? Right.
There won't be a state central committee.
I mean, there won't be.
It will be a dictatorship.
Yes.
Of whomever has been chosen and installed, and that will be it.
And that's my point. It's like, and who's going to choose them? There will be no, if you get rid of the caucus system and the assembly system, there will be no mechanism for choosing somebody.
Of course there will be.
Whoever
writes the biggest check gets the top spot.
I mean, when you think about the repercussions of this, what the bill would do is completely dismantle local Republican organizations. Yeah. And there would be no point for them. There'd be no need for them. They would have no members. And so it'd be kind of like when people run for school board, right? Yeah. The only people who run for school board are teacher advocates because they're the ones who care. So
sure. Basically it would be kind of a formalizing mechanism of the uniparty.
Yeah.
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 Well, there we go.
If you don't have it, then guess what you have? You have the official formation of a uniparty at the top. Because what's the point?
Hey, listen, we're going to let you go because you've got Kevin Lundberg coming on now.
Hi, Kevin.
All right. Good luck. Good luck,
girl. Thank you.
All right. We're going to kind of continue the conversation with
Kevin Longberg, the Longberg Report, a state senator and one of the brightest guys we know.
an emergency report.
That I did.
All right. So, Kevin, that's.
Well, I want to ask you first about how you enjoyed Tuesday night's fair.
I'll tell you what, it's such a disappointment on how that meeting was conducted. The very fact that it was even called was inexcusable and doesn't comport with the party bylaws, which is consistent with the statutes. In other words, the statutes don't put any limitation on controversies, but it does say that the parties can, create the rules, and they did, and it said 2 weeks. And here's another thing that kind of bugged me is, start to finish, just about all of it, you should never conduct that type of a meeting over Zoom. It's great format for information like this, not a very good format to give everybody a chance to, fully debate and understand an issue and then vote accurately. I actually, in the first parts of the meeting, moved for adjournment,
right.
Which is an appropriate motion at any point in time. And because there was the actual motion on the floor, it became a non-debatable issue that had to be dealt with directly. And so the chair tried to have everybody list their vote in the chat. Well, you just saw this screaming circle of yeses and nos, and some, and there were people on the call that were not voting members. And so it was impossible to conduct it that way. And so here's how they fixed it. First, you got to understand that because of they had over 300 people on this call, and 301 were actually credentialed as voting members of the Central Committee. So it was a huge group that, we have pages. Once you hit 25, you go to another page. Well, I counted 14 pages on this one. So understandably, you do have to strictly control the microphone. And so they had a mechanism where they could unmute you individually only.
Right.
And I was recognized during the discussion on the motion very early on. And, I expressed my concerns that the legal counsel for the party gave his legal analysis of what they were doing, but he left out the party bylaws, which actually ultimately governed that 2 week.
And there was no one. She gave Chris Murray, who is the legal counsel, and with Brownstein, of course, because Brownstein controls all, time to give out his analysis, but no chance for anyone else to say, no, Chris, but you forgot A or B or controversy.
Right, right.
All one way.
Yeah, when I was recognized, I did note that he neglected to cover what the bylaws actually say about it, and said, therefore, I move to adjourn this meeting immediately. Right. And as I say, it's a non-debatable thing, so you've got to go into, let's vote, and they tried, and it was kind of a mess. And then, by then, they had cut my audio out, so I had no chance to come back at it.
Here's another good one.
This is the point, though. That was an illegal vote, because the chair, once she voted and discovered that there are a lot of people that wanted to in this meeting, she conferred with, I assume, the general counsel and said, this is a 2/3 vote required. Well, it's not.
Yeah.
Robert's Rules of Order makes a motion to adjourn the second highest priority motion in their list of motions, normal, regular, everyday motions. And it's listed as having requiring a majority vote in order to do it. So it was either bad information or it was just an outright lie.
No, they did is there was a motion to adjourn early on, which she ruled out of order. She said that wouldn't have been a majority, but it's out of order. So once the rules are adopted, to change the rules and adjourn, you need 2/3, which is contrary to Robert's Rules of Order. But here's the one I like.
Right.
So Christy Burton Brown called the meeting, even though she couldn't get enough signatures or people to ask for it. And she said, and they said, it's a controversy. You have to go through the county State Central Committee first. And she said, no, this is not a controversy. and so today in their pleadings, Republican Party said, no, court, this is a controversy. And therefore, you have no jurisdiction because this is a controversy, no matter right. what Christie said earlier, to allow her to override the State Central Committee.
Right, because the statute they actually cited is concerning controversies. That's yes. the title of the statute.
Yes. yes.
I mean, it's you can't get around this and you can't make this stuff up either.
Oh, well, here's the thing. So, which leads us into then the talking about your emergency report. And, yeah. and we've talked about Senate Bill 101, sponsored by two Republicans. Their, I think, attempt to just get around all of this pesky PCP people and voters and things
get
like that.
Get rid of the people.
Just get rid of it. Just pass a state law that says, okay, we're just going to get rid of this, right?
Yeah. You know, Colorado is somewhat unique. Because we have a very solid caucus system for major parties, and it's in statute, the parties are pretty much locked into what's there, but it allows the individual citizen a front row seat to the election process. If you want to get involved, all you have to do is once every 2 years, show up to your local precinct caucus, and then if you want to take it further, volunteer to be a delegate to one of the districts or to all the districts, all the way up to the state convention. Different counties have different mechanisms to get all the way down there. But it starts with the caucus, and it ends up the number one job of the caucus is to select delegates for the meetings that follow, which end up in district assemblies. And the purpose of the district assembly, the primary purpose, is to select the candidates to stand for election in the primary ballot.
Right.
It basically is the purpose of caucuses.
Right. And it gives individual, yeah. it gives you as a grassroots person in your neighborhood, it gives you, it's a first place for your voice. Right.
Yeah. And a very powerful one.
And that's a very powerful one. And that's the point, to give power to the individual people.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, rather than, I said Colorado is somewhat unique because I haven't done a survey of all 50 states, but what I've discovered in just a little bit of a view of this is very few states really have this opportunity in such an open fashion. And as I say, it's in statute. It's the policies. 1972, the very first time I attended a caucus, that's the way the system worked then. Okay. And I don't know how long it had been working since then, but you know, that's a few years ago. We're all kind of used to this.
What do you think is the motive? Well, I mean, I think I know, but what do you think is the motive for them doing this? And where do you see this?
Where's it going?
Wheels behind the wheels.
Yeah. Well, first, and maybe you've already covered this.
Go ahead. That's okay.
But just for my assurances, at least, the bill doesn't get rid of caucuses. What it does is it gets rid of the district assembly's ability to choose primary candidates for the primary. And so everybody has to petition on, which anybody who's really been involved in this knows it's kind of the rich man's game, because you don't go stand out on the street corner and collect signatures for yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to go buy them from somebody, and for the higher offices, it gets pretty pricey. Anyway, so Senate Bill 101 simply says that everybody has to petition on, and the assemblies have no authority in that. Now, what are they trying to do? Ultimately, I think they're trying to get rid of the caucuses,
right? Because point to go to a caucus and be involved in any of that if you're not going to go to your assembly.
Get rid of those pesky citizens who actually want to get engaged and involved in the process, rather than, you know, the good old boys in the back rooms, which unfortunately is the process in a lot of states.
Right.
In my political experience, I've seen this come up, I don't know, at least two times. It's come up for an actual general election ballot question. Shall we continue with the caucuses? And in each time, I kind of figured that this average voting citizen in November would turn it down. because only, you know, a very small 2-3% of the people actually take advantage of the caucus. But instead, they have turned it down, but they keep coming back trying it. And so this one doesn't bring it to a vote of the people, which I think is a pretty sneaky thing to do.
No difference in mail-in ballots. Mail-in ballots.
We voted it down.
Well, no, but mail-in ballots went to the public on a referendum or agenda, turned it down, and they just did it fine. Waited a couple of years and passed it.
Exactly.
In the when they controlled all
exactly. So parties. So they're it's a power play.
Yeah.
Now I think that's the big issue. Is it's the you know the folks who have their hands on the levers of power within party politics, unfortunately, far too many of them don't really want to make it a republic where we the people select our representatives who then go and govern, but only as we have instructed them to do. I'm tempted at some point in time to put together a speech that is pretty much the first few paragraphs of Article 5 of the Colorado Constitution. And that's the article that establishes the legislature. And if you read those first few paragraphs, the writers of our Constitution for the state of Colorado made it ultimately clear that we, the people, retain the authority and the power to make law. Now, we vest in the legislature a great deal of autonomy, but there's no question that they had no idea that they were turning it over to somebody else. No, they were staying on top of this. And that's what the caucus system does, imperfectly, right, but more perfectly than, you know, it's kind of like the old comment about democracy. And I'm using that with a, you know, kind of a general definition of that system. It's the worst system out there, except everything else.
Right.
Churchill said,
do you see this? Because, again, there's some thought that they're going to do this and then they're going to put it in a ballot initiative and kind of work the kinks out while it's in the legislature. Or do you think, do they have the votes to pass it? I mean, where do you think the Democrats?
Well, that's a really good question, because the Democrats are, of course, fully in charge on this process. And it's got a Senate and a House Republican sponsor.
Right.
And now the House sponsor, I kind of understand it's probably a personal vendetta, because she lost in her assembly.
Barb Kirkmeyer. Yeah.
Mary Bradford.
Yeah. It's Bradford in the House. And so I'm not sure. I don't know her well enough to know whether she thinks these things through or not, but I can see that she might have just kind of reacted and said, yeah, I want to get rid of this. They tried to get rid of me, you know, and I think they should have, but that's another comment.
That's another one. Because the Democrats, it's interesting. They have a similar system, but theirs is already almost always decided, right? They don't very often have.
Well, they rule with an iron hand. And if you need not go any further than just look at the campaign finance histories with Democrat incumbents, and you discover that a whole lot of money comes their way. And then when it comes time for voting, man, they are just lockstep. And there's no doubt in my mind that there's a strong connection here. They crack the whip in a big way, and therefore other people don't challenge them much. Us Republicans, what do? Well, we let people run for office.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good idea.
So do you think there's a chance that it might pass at the Democrats?
I don't know. I've heard rumors that there are some D's who have the common sense to think that's not a very good idea. It could blow up in their face. Here's what it's going to do. Absolutely no question. It's going to tell every voting citizen in the state of Colorado that the last thing you want to do is be affiliated with a political party, because they have no say in anything.
Right.
And if you're unaffiliated, not only can you vote in primaries, but this bill says that you can be one of the people signing the petition.
So, right.
And you could sign a petition for some Democrat running for Senate and then some Republican running for the House. And, you know, you're just a free agent with everything. And with the open primary system we have. Yes, and it does say right up here, in Colorado's open primary. I make sure that's on most of my Zoom calls. But that has gone a long way to tell citizens, don't bother with the parties. Well, right. This, I think, just, you know, pulls the rest of the guts out of the system.
Sure. Right.
And I think that it's a foolish notion. You know, George Washington didn't like the idea of parties, but guess what? They're inevitable. Why? Yes. Because we have differing points of view, and each one of us can't have much effect, but when we join together with others, we find we do. Well, right. this just kind of, it's kind of like up in Alaska with their jungle primary. It just kind of scrambles everything.
Like Laurel Eimer said, it's a uniparty, right? That's what this would.
Well,
like
it's kind of aimed that way, but it's not going to work out that way. Right. Because, you know, look at states that have, and I hope we're not looking at Colorado, but maybe we are, the states that have a, you know, a supermajority on one party's part all the time. Well, then you find that they start splitting off into different factions. And people start gaming the system. So to me, a two-party system is still the worst system out there, except everything else.
Right. Exactly. And I think, you know, you can see sometimes in school board races where they don't declare parties, people cheat and they lie. I mean, at least when you have to declare a party, you have some sense, at least kind of where they're leaning. They may betray you and all of that,
You can really game the system when nobody's allowed to take a label, or up in Washington State, this is my son lives up there, and the first time he ever voted, he sent me a ballot. I may have even told you about this in the past, but on the ballot for the primary, everybody's on there, and it even says some may state their association or their preference for a political party, but that has nothing to do with whether they are actually a member of the party. You know, I mean, it's just, and you can tell it's become a bit of a joke up there, because one person running for U.S. Congress in King County, which is Seattle, his official name is Good Space Guy. Space Guy.
And
I'm told he's kind of a regular. He gets on the ballot all the time, and you know he's either really spacey or he is making a political statement of this is a joke.
Right. Yes, well, yes. You know, as I was saying to Laurel, I think the one positive sort of takeaway is they must be very desperate that they're pushing this again. The grassroots, I think, are gaining power, are getting organized, are getting energized, and so they've got a
Yeah, and that's the real question. Who are they? Is there a critical mass to make this happen or not? Whether or not it is, I think it's a golden opportunity. I mean, I'm always looking for the silver lining, and here's the silver lining. This gives us an opportunity to underscore the significance and the importance of the caucus, and to make the average citizen who, you know, bumps into this issue at all to realize that there is merit to giving them, you know, John Q. citizen, a real strong tool for selecting their representatives for their government.
Right.
What do you think Barbara Kirkmeier's motivation was to be the
same? I have no idea. I'm
going to go with money. I'm going to go with
hoping
money.
Hoping for better. But I'll tell you this. I think she's got a choice now. And that is, she's either going to completely disavow this, or I think she might as well, forget about trying to run as a Republican ever again, because anybody who wants to gut the system like that does not deserve a vote from anybody who wants to still be engaged in the process like we have it. And another thing to be aware of is when a bill is introduced, prior to its introduction, it's totally up to the sponsor what to do with it, you know, how to write it, when to introduce it, I mean, within the rules of when they can, or to not introduce it at all. Once it's introduced, however, it becomes the domain of the legislature, not that sponsor.
Yeah.
And so she's kind of thrown it out there, and if the D's like it, she could walk away from the thing, and, you know, maybe she could talk them into killing it, at which point they pull it up on their own. But, right. You know, you don't have much control over it once you introduce it. You know, whether or not you're – now, there is one little angle that you can do. And that's – that has to do with the sponsor in the other house. Now, in this case, there is a sponsor declared, so they both have to agree to,
right, you
know, to juggle this in such a way that, and I'd have to talk to them directly to give them all the details, but.
Well, I think, you know, and I think Kevin,
good luck.
I'm not holding my breath. No.
Thank you for putting out, and we've told people.
Yes. Got to get the report.
Hey. And actually, if you give me just a moment to explain why I did it in such an emergency fashion, because, hey, I'm going to be writing a weekly report to publish early tomorrow morning. But my concern is this, or maybe it's not a concern. It's more of that silver lining, is we are having all of the county party organizational meetings occur. Some have already, but the vast majority will either be this weekend or next weekend.
Right.
And I wanted to catch everybody and say, before you vote for anybody,
right,
you need to ask them, what do you think about maintaining the caucus system or not? And some of us, like myself, you know, it's a very simple answer, of course. But I'm wanting, you know, to flush out anybody who'd say, well, I don't know if I like that, or maybe we'll just kind of force them into making a pledge that we can hold them to later.
Yeah, that's a very good idea. Point.
Yeah, this idea. Is one of those big, big deals that, you know, could go under the radar because it's kind of in the, you know, the
weeds a little bit.
Yeah, as far as the average citizen. But man, I'll tell you what, if they change it, it just is a death knell to so much of the parties, and maybe the parties entirely. I don't know, because I mean, we've got such a mess in the first place.
No, it could be. All right. Well, Kevin, listen.
We appreciate you so much, and everybody get that Lundberg report, because it'll inform you on a lot of things.
Yeah. Well, and I might tell everybody it's on my website, kevinlundberg.com. Yeah. Just go there and you'll find it. I send out an email reminder, and that's what I sent out last night. You know, I just found out about it. It was introduced three days ago now, but I found out about it yesterday afternoon, and I'm like, you know, hair on fire, better get this done.
All right. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
Great weekend. We'll see you later.
You bet.
All right. There we go. And that is time for us to go. Us to go. Hey, to party for Chuck's birthday.
Yeah.
For Chuck's birthday. Hey, I want to thank everybody on Zoom. Thank Laurel. Thank Kevin. Thank always the great guys at BBS. We love all of you guys on Zoom.
We do.
Catch all of our shows at chuckandjulie.com. That has links everywhere.
And we'll be back after the wonderful weekend of party.
There we go. See you on Monday.
Bye-bye.